Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. We're continuing our look through the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
We did not see the act of creation, nor did we hear the spoken words, "Let there be light." We know it just could not have happened. There was not just a big bang like a lot of people would teach. It actually, if you don't misunderstand me, it takes more faith to believe in a big bang theory than it does that there's a creator. God just spoke it into existence. I can't understand how people think that somehow we came out of an ooze and slime, or however they would explain it. We walked around with a club and a bone in our nose, or however they, dragging their wives with them. You know. I learned a poem when I was a little kid. Once I was a tadpole, small and thin. Then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey climbing in a tree. Now I'm a doctor with a PhD. People actually believe that. Blows me away. But the Word of God tells us, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now the word here, word, literally means the spoken Word of God. Again, that's something we can't fathom. God stepped out and stood on out of nowhere and stood on nothing and said, "Let there be light." You know what? Then he began to create what we know as our atmosphere. And we find out, you know, sun, the moon, stars, animal life, plants, man. But he did that by the spoken word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What does that mean, preacher? It literally means he, again, these things that we see, he made it out of nothing. He didn't start with something. He started with nothing and spoke it into existence. By the word of God, that spoken word, "Let there be light," and boom, there was light. He made something out of nothing, just spoke it into existence. And we find in the book of Hebrews chapter number 4 that the word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And that word powerful is, if I don't want you to be redundant, is a powerful word. It's where we get that explosive power, the word of God. Not just the written word, but his spoken word. It's more powerful than the atom bomb. I don't know what the most powerful thing is anymore. Used to it was an atom bomb. I don't know what it is now. They probably made something even bigger than that, you know. But, you know, there's three kind of atom bombs made. There's big, there's bigger, and then where did all the people go? You'll get that on the way home. But anyway, the word of God is even more powerful than that. He spoke this world in existence, and by the way, he's going to burn it all up one day. What he spoke into existence, how he does that, I don't know, a lot of theories and thoughts, but he said if he removes one kind of certain element from the atmosphere, that this whole atmosphere will burn up, and maybe so, I don't know. But I know God doesn't have to remove anything from it. He just speaks it. He spoke it into existence, and he's going to speak it. Now, when we say Revelation 21, a new heaven, a new earth, it does not mean he just blows it up and recreates something. No, it's like he remodels it, okay? Regenerates it. He brings it back to life. He'll burn it all up. This earth was not created in vain. He'll burn it all up. And once he, by the way, do y'all believe that? So why do we hang on to all these things? Somebody sent a wonderful, and I don't do Facebook. I don't even have a computer. The closest thing I got to a computer is my phone. That's it. I don't want a computer. I ain't missing a thing. Now, if y'all need computers, I don't need one. My wife has one. Okay, so don't go throw your computers away. You know, they could be used good. But anyway, somebody sent something to Latrice. I forget, maybe somebody in here, about all these things that we own, the house we live in, the car's going to rust, and all these things that we cherish. In 100 years, if the Lord doesn't come in 100 years, it's going to be gone. All these things you've wrapped your life around building. Businesses or houses. I mentioned last week, I'll say it again, okay? Because y'all know I am crazy. I said it one time a while back. I may be a nut, but I'm on the right bolt. We save and we save and we save. And I read the passages of Scripture. Again, nothing wrong with saving, just understand what I'm saying here. Nothing wrong with that. We need to provide for our family and grandchildren and all that. But anyway, but remember, I read a passage of Scripture a week or two ago about that farmer. In about two or three verses, he kept using the word I. I'm going to build me bigger barns. Man, look at me. What am I going to do? I mean, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to I. And God said, thou fool, tonight thy soul will be required of thee. Well, the thought is this. What happened to his crops? Well, somebody else harvested them crops. Husband, when you die, they're going to be a new man sitting in your lazy boy watching that TV. That you provide. I'm kidding, but you know the point, right? You cannot take it with you. It's going to be burned up anyway. He's spoken in existence. He'll take it out of existence. Only God can create. Man can build, but God creates. Then some last thoughts here. What a mighty God we serve. And if God could do that, and he did, spoke it into existence, what could he do in your life if we just simply have faith and believe and trust? Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The last point, if God can do this, creation, and he did, don't you think God can do, and I put this word great things in your life, and we look at great big things, and I understand it. The point I'm trying to make is God could take these problems that we're fussing about and fighting and fretting over. That ain't nothing for God. Nothing. The God who spoke in existence can take your problems. And if he doesn't take your problems away, God's grace is sufficient. I have to remember that. Let me close this. I was somewhere, I think it was at a banquet yesterday, at Southeast Bible, somewhere, last day or two. Might have been the Thursday morning Bible study. Anyway, they were talking about people having difficulties in life. Oh, I know what it was. I was talking Thursday, Brother Ray. I messed up your class Thursday, okay? I talked about the judgment of God in people's lives, in believers' lives. We'll get to Hebrews chapter number 12 about God chastening his children. And I mentioned in Thursday morning Bible study, somebody asked me afterwards about this, that you have to be very careful when something happens in somebody's life. Don't you say God must be judging you. Remember Job's friends? Somebody gets seriously ill or loses a family member or some awful tragedy happens. Never, ever, 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 ever think, well, you must be out of God's will. You love on him, encourage him. But, I will say this, and I'm going to close. God does chasten his people. If you're not chastened of God, Book of Hebrews said 12, you don't belong to him.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.